coming up on the next BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast, catching up with Rainer Fings, product manager for the new BMW R1300 GS Adventure. Take a listen.
There was something new. There was something special. When you sit on the bike, I name it, it grows with you. Each kilometer or each mile, it grows. Not because it grows in reality, but you feel that all of these things that you know maybe what GS is in there and more.
That was Rainer Fings, product manager for the BMW R1300 GS Adventure. You may remember hearing him in a previous episode last year where we discussed the standard R1300 GS. Hi everyone, I'm Sean Thomas. Welcome back to the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast. BMW Motorrad is calling this the year of the GS for good reason. In all, we have seen significant changes in nearly every model in the GS lineup, most notably the F900 GS, R1300 GS, and R1300 GS Adventure. My producer, Louise Powers, and I met with Rainer during the launch of the new Adventure, which occurred during BMW Motorrad Days in Garmisch. Today, we discuss this newest model, new technologies, and some little-known history of the GS. Be sure to subscribe, like, and comment to this and other Ride and Talk episodes. We very much appreciate your continued support. Now let's hear from Rainer Fings about the year of the GS. So Louise and I have been having this debate that we hope that you can help us to solve. And the question that we've posed is, what would we officially consider the very first GS Adventure? The very first.
And I think it's the Paris Dakar.
Yeah, the Boxer Adventure from the naming. We are getting out around 20 years.
Yeah.
Paris Dakar was launched in 92.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's
really
long time ago.
We are talking about Paris Dakar or Adventure. The trouble is our naming Adventure, name it Adventure, is for you older than what? Because all of these kinds of bikes are adventure bikes.
Sure. Yeah.
And our Adventure is an adventure, whatever you name it. So that's a question of naming. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can say the idea, what is behind Adventure, started with that Paris Dakar, because it's the thing. You got a standard GS, and with some options, you overrule the protection or everything, what the basic bike has got, and you sat on top. So with that Paris Dakar, also a bigger fuel tank was available.
Mm-hmm.
More protection was available underneath and the engine protectors, the engine bars, and the little other stuff. And that stuff we used at the beginning of 2000s or end of 99, 2000s, because that Dakar thing was on top.
Mm.
Not with the boxers. Maybe you remember the 650s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they came back, the thing we launched, the 1100 GS as 94. So first four valve boxers.
Right.
That thing was so huge. You did not need to overrule that at this time would be something killing. We did not know how it will work and will these really big bikes hit the customer in the point that the two valve boxers did. So that was a time of, let's say, growing.
Yeah.
And then came the 1150. And with the 1150 and the spirit behind this Dakar thing, we were not able to launch a Dakar boxer.
Right.
But we took this idea behind and transformed it with the Adventure behind in a model.
Yeah.
And the first was an option. It was not a model. It was an option.
Oh.
Interesting.
So the 1150 you could order with... I did not know in detail what was the real name of this option. There is, I had to look in books or whatever where it was. So you could decide from production whether you get the standard bike or with this option code, this adventure thing.
Interesting.
So that is, for me, the best story. And when you think about it was 1150, it is more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
The first really... own adventure model type code, what the K25, it is the name, was in 2005.
Yeah.
The K25 was the first with a 33 liter plastic tank. I don't know whether you remember.
Yes.
The first with the crash bars also around the fuel tank.
Yeah.
That was the really first adventure from, as a model code from production.
It's an interesting parallel because at the same time that you were making the adventure option You also had the first K1200 GT, which was basically a K12 RS with a couple little extra pieces added. And of course, now the GT is a completely separate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's its own entity, just as the Adventure was. And I remember with the original 1150 Adventure, you had a different rear subframe. Or the rear end, you know, that attached the seat.
Yeah.
Because you had to use that to mount single piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you had the shorter first gear, I think, too.
That was an option. It was an option to have a shorter first gear and also a longer sixth gear, an overdrive.
Mm.
Only a few people remember that.
Oh.
Yeah, but there were gearbox version, three gearbox versions.
Oh, wow.
Standard one. Short first gear and short first gear and long sixth gear.
I remember with the 1100 GS, you could pretty much be at a dead sit still and just dump the clutch, and that bike would just tractor its and in a way that I've never seen its equal to. It was almost that first gear was almost just for.
The 1100s have got only a 5-speed gearbox, and the first gear was too long. It was far too long, but this bull engine pulled through because of a lot of mass, rotational mass.
Yeah.
And but it was fifth gear. So that was the reason to develop a 6-speed gearbox with 1150.
Mm.
The 1150 is a complete new motorbike.
Mm.
The fuel tank is similar. Some pieces are same, but in fact, it is a complete new motorbike. A lot of system, electronics and so on, brakes. But mostly suspension is different on that bike and working better. Separated from the 11. Not so many people know today because it's long ago. But I've been there at this time. And also you see, this is different. A lot of little pieces are different. And when you think about the past of this big Boxer GSs, that thing is really the game changer, being starting from the 1100s with 5-speed gearboxes and so on, all of this stuff in to the next model. That is the big game changer in the row of the 4-valve boxes.
Yeah.
And before that, that was the A88 2-valve boxer, was also the game changer.
Yeah.
When we changed from mono-lever to the paralever and the cross-spoke wheels and a different suspension or telescopic fork. So you can see when you look at this history, there are things we did a motorbike established and then we say we go in a way of perfection.
Mm.
And we got also in the row in the past, when you look in 1200s and 1250, then we go from 1200 to 1250, we got always this jump. And that was for me really important also to do this 50 thing again.
Yeah.
Because we said discussions about the shift cam might be 1300 as this time.
Yeah.
From nowadays, looking back, it was a good decision to have not a 1300 as this time. Others say, we name it 1300. And I said, no. I said, when we are over 1262 cc, then we might name about 1300.
Mm-hmm.
But we reached only 1254. Right. I said, it's a good 1250. But we did things with that for perfection. When you come from 1200 to 1250, you feel it.
Yeah.
The whole bike, the engine and so on.
It's very different. Yeah.
And then comes the 1100 thing back.
Mm.
That was the thing that I told to development. When you think about the past of Boxer engines, the K50, so the 1200 water-cooled first, was a very reactive engine, especially the first model year.
Right.
And a lot of customers said, maybe it's a little bit too nervous for me to control and so on. And in the second year, we changed with the whole family to more rotational mass. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody knows, some not. But that was the thing.
Heavier crank.
Because of what? Because make it more reliable, make it not really reliable, but makes it more comfortable, more easy control. And then I told them, when you look back in our history, the 1100, when you ride the 1100, is exactly the thing that you mentioned. You loosen the clutch and it pulls you through.
Yeah.
It tells you, I can do everything for you.
Yeah.
No trouble. I will not stall. And that was the thing I wanted to have in the 1250 back again.
Mm.
That is the thing that was allowed with shift cam.
Mm.
Not the increasing the mass, but have this cam. So this intake cam to give the valve timing that you got a very sovereign and smooth running engine in idle and lower speed. Yeah. And when you open, you change the phase. That was the thing. You change the phase to, let's say, go aggressive and active and so on. And with that feeling, yeah, I asked them, what do you feel? Yeah, some of them said, yeah, it's something similar. I don't know. It is something like the 1100 has been before. And I said, yeah, right. That was the idea behind that. Especially when you go in off-road, you feel that. Yeah, when you go so on and open the throttle just a little bit and this comes and it's very smooth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, of course, we conserved in the 1300. And
yeah.
Again.
We took note of this in the 1250 where people that rode low speed a lot and people that were aggressive on the street, you know, they come out of turns and really get on the throttle. They immediately noticed the difference between the 1200 and the 1250. You know, it was almost a year ago that we sat together before. And at that time it was the launch of the new R1300 GS. And you were just about to get on your whirlwind tour talking about this motorcycle. And that at the time, I certainly probably still now, but definitely then was a very provocative motorcycle. I mean, there almost wasn't a single nut or bolt that you didn't change from the 1250. And I wonder, you know, what has been the feedback that comes to mind most for you now that you've had the 1300 out in the public for almost a year?
You're talking about the tiny version.
Sounds so, my version, the tiny version.
We are not at the point. Yeah, everybody sees directly there was something new. There was something special. When you sit on the bike, I name it, it grows with you. You're riding that bike or for you, it grows each kilometer or each mile, it grows. Not because it grows in reality, but you feel that all of these things that you know maybe what GS is in there and more. Mm. Coming to the big thing, yeah. To the adventure, that is that I created the last, let's say the last month, because it's my inspiration. It gets smaller. That is maybe one thing you might say, no, adventure has to be smaller in thing of, as I mentioned, when you ride that motorbike, you sit on and then you start riding. It is so good balanced. The balance of this motorbike is so perfect. And it gets smaller because of what? Because you see the bike. This is a huge, massive thing. The rock, the rhino is the symbol for that. And you think, boy, this would be a hard ride to do that.
Yeah.
And once you enter the bike and you ride it, especially with ASA, simple ride, simplifying your ride, it is not something that is made to... You are not able to do this.
Yeah.
But it's made in a way that you say, keep it simple. Mm. Because simple is always the best when you want to enjoy. You want not to enjoy operating the bike. You want to enjoy your ride. And that is the spirit in behind that we say, the small one, easy using, perfect function. You can configure it in a way you want to have a lot of options and so on. But the clear thing that you got with the bigger one is also there. When you decide that, you decide yourself to go on that big thing.
I think the most shocking revelation I had about the 1300 GS was the combination of the transmission placement and the new telelever. And when I would put that bike in and out of turns, it was so flickable. It just whap into turns and whap back out. And I had to really think about that I was on a different bike because I kept double leaning. You know, I'd go into turns so aggressively and I'd have to come back out of the turn and reset up because it flicks over so quickly. Yep. And I haven't ridden the adventure yet, but I'm curious as to how the experience will be because it is the same drivetrain in that sense.
Yeah, not.
Oh.
Now, because on the adventure, you got this mass, and now this mass is helping the bike. In the past, there's a little bit of disturbing the riding.
Interesting.
Because a big mass on top moves the bike by its own.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That is maybe to understand what is happening there.
Mm. You know, of course, it's easy to focus on the 1300 family, but we've seen growth across the board almost entirely with the GS this year. And we had an opportunity to interview Christian and Sergio about the F900 GS. And it was very interesting to hear them talk about how their development process, they were literally said they were like sitting next to you guys in your team. Yeah. And every once in a while, they'd poke their heads over and see what you were up to. And they go, oh, we have to do that. Or, oh, we should go in a different direction. And I thought that was really fascinating. And I wonder, when you're developing these platforms, how much are you focusing on what the other managers are doing in the GS line as you develop your product?
So for me, it's a thing. I'm always dealing with the big ones.
Yeah.
And I would say with the ones that are mostly used for touring, mm-hmm. worldwide touring and traveling.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking about sport, yeah, on that kind of bikes that are close to 200, around 250 kilograms, it's a different story, of course, to being in the middle class or upper middle class or in the smaller class. Mm. But one thing is important, that is the GS. It is not only a name. GS is a technology.
Hmm.
Yeah, that is should be integrated in all of these bikes. Also, a 310 owns GS jeans.
Yeah,
the 900, of course, too, and nature of the game, the 1300, also in a way. But the let's say there is a center where you say you're going more for off-road or adventure direction,
right?
In a way of dynamic riding.
Mm.
There comes the border for most of the motorcycle rider once they are on the road with a 250 kilogram bike, because the engine power and the speed that you got there, mm-hmm. you should be able to control. And the really good riders say, I don't need this 145 horsepower for whatever to have my traction and my performance.
Yeah.
1000 cc or something, or let's name it 880 to 100, 110 horsepower. Yeah. When we talk in this, mm-hmm. the torque is at the end of the day the most important thing.
Yeah. Right.
That is enough. More interesting is the weight of the bike, the size of the wheels, and the suspension travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you think about how can you improve, when you look in the row of GSs, that thing to come to the point where we like to go, very easy and dynamic and maybe also cool on the motorcycle riding, then it is in the middle, something that you can do. And that is exactly the 900cc. Yeah. I forced Sergio, please Sergio, use the chance also. I supported him in that way, sport suspension and so on, doing this 900 thing, we moved to a totally different direction. A lot of people are so happy, and that's exactly the thing I'm also happy about, because that gives the spirit and tells, let's say, our company, our dealers and customers, hey, something is going on there.
Yeah.
And for me, from my understanding, it opens me a world. I don't have to tell with the big ones, but the mid-size is telling, and I will participate in the future on that. I will go in a way, so that is the thing. I like to do that. And that is the interchanging.
You have been a part of so many legendary motorcycles. I mean, the GS, of course, the R9T. But, you know, I think about the F900 and what it does. And I think back to one of your previous projects, which was the HB2 Enduro, which also had that really athletic, to a point of being competitive, element to it. And it must be really interesting to you to see that heritage continuing on with a bike like the F900.
Yeah. HB2 is interesting. HB2 was a bike that was made for professionals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you say, or some might say, no, this is professionals who are able to fight with a bull like this. Everybody who knows to go with an HB2 on the off-road, on a higher dynamic level, you have to be all the time very concentrated.
Right.
And we, as we developed at this time the HP2 models, we decided less or no compromises.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you would not be able to sell a bike with that items.
Yeah.
Only a few of them. A lot of people would say, we are talking, and I've got always these discussions. Yeah, but do you want to miss this?
Yeah,
because everybody knows, and we don't do this,
right?
When you talk about that HP2 not having a lot of compromises, when we look at the new Adventure, the new 1300 Adventure, we actually get to take some of those compromises away, also because we have the new automated shift assistant. right? So now people aren't compromising, having to do all of this while their beautiful world is going by. So what made you decide to pursue this technology? Because this is all new technology for BMW.
Yeah, it is all new on one hand, but an old story on the other hand for us. An old story means, of course, we're working for a long time and we looked what is going on in the motorcycle market. Fortunately, we had a chance to look what's going on because competition decided to do in a direction, in a special direction. We also said that is interesting. It's a really brave decision to do that. And of course, when you, for example, see this DCT, they've got now the fourth version of that in that big, more than 1,000 cc's. They learned a lot over the years. And we also been on points in the past decade, let's say, to say we want to go in that way, but that's not our solution. There are a lot of technical reasons, for example, to do that. But on the other hand, when you look in detail, what does it mean to automate shifting or to automate a motorbike or automating motorbike riding? The motorbike rider, motorcycle rider, is the most conservative, one of the most conservative vehicle user anyway, because he wants to be reliable, he wants to operate it, he knows in detail what it means to pull the clutch, pull a lever and so on, and what does it mean for safety riding, whatever, for successful riding or enjoyable riding.
Right.
So therefore, you have to be very careful. And we say we want to do everything. Of course, on one hand, makes it comfortable, but in the center is Freude am Fahren. So to have this grin in your face once you ride, give you free place. And for us, integrated too, was shifting gears, also a piece of this Freude or happiness.
Yeah.
And then came the double clutch, and we thought about also systems like this, but there is a weight trouble that you are faced with, because it makes minimum 5 kilograms. Five is usually 10, these 10 are right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we said the package and everything, for our understanding, for example, integrate in a boxer engine or a case here or whatever, we can do this from technology side, but it's not the right way. And when you look on the car side, this M3 gearbox, semi-sequential, you push forward and down and so on. Yeah. That is an example. What we said from product management, Seb Michler and me, we had in our mind this sequence. This is something you want to conserve in the motorcycle riding in some kinds. And also I gave some sentence about the spirit. What is the future of BMW Motorrad automation of shifting gears and so on? Mm. And I said, this thing, you shift in gear and you feel it. This is most important thing.
Yeah.
And that was clear that we will not do an automatic gearbox. Automatic gearbox is different than automated shift assist.
Yes.
Right.
When you know technology. So that was a decision to do it in a different way. But we decided to develop it with the boxer to make it more simple to ride a motorbike. Yeah. And that's not a thing that you say. Motorbike riding is not complicate. For what reason do you do this? So I said to me, I will be faced with that information. With that complaints from customers.
Yeah.
I don't want this because too much weight, too much cost, whatever. But then we said, when you are concentrated on riding, not pulling clutch, that is interesting. Then we did the Shift Assist Pro. You remember in 2014? We launched the Shift Assist Pro with the boxer shifting up and down without pulling the clutch.
Yep.
And that was, for me, the base for the future. It took some time, but anyway, that is the direction for BMW Motorrad to go in automation of shifting gears. And we did step by step, and now we've got a perfect function of a Shift Assist Pro. Because when you ASA using manual, it shifts up and down, and that's perfect.
It's the same. Yeah.
But then comes the real thing. You shift to the automated mode. What are you doing? You're riding, but you don't move your hand. You're using no clutch and nothing. You control the handlebar, very sensitive, not disturbing, fully clutch. And your left foot is there where it is, and it stays there where it is. Mm. And your focus is on the road, on cornering, acceleration, and so on.
Yeah.
And of course, we got the feedback now from internal tests, right? No customer up to now used that. But also no journalist had been able, but we are showed in Enduro Park Hechling how it's working. And of course, internal, all of them, they got complained and, oh, what will it be? And so on and function. They came back with a grin in their face because they now understood what does it mean when I got space back to enjoy the motorcycle.
I'm very interested to try it because when I sat on the bike yesterday and I was, where's the clutch? It's so strange, but I'm very curious to try it. Of course, a big part of, you know, what we love is that emotion of shifting. But it will be interesting to see what other emotions I can focus on when I'm not focusing on that.
Yeah, but emotion, when you talk about emotion, when you can change the character of shifting gears or with the riding modes beside that. But when you ride, you got this shifting, but you are not doing it by yourself. That is something that is really special.
That's cool.
You said something so profound a moment ago, speaking about how conservative motorcycle riders are and how resistant they are to having any sort of change. And I've been just thinking about how absolutely right that is. It is for me. And I, for those of us listening right now and saying, oh, I'm not sure about this idea of automatic shift assistant, I just want to say two things. It is optional.
It is optional.
And you should try it.
You should.
Yeah.
Just to see.
You have to.
Yeah. Why not? Give it a go. And if it's not, how many people balked at the idea of having heated grips on a motorcycle when you first came out with that? Like, I do not need this. This is not necessary for me. And we joke that, you know, when the R32 came out and they had optional headlight and speedometer, that there was somebody that just went, that's just one more piece of technology to break.
And now look at us now. We all have headlights, we all have speedometers, and we all have heated grips because none of us will go anywhere in the winter without them.
You know, it's interesting to me because I know you well enough now to know that you don't slow down. Like you've always got a project bubbling, and I don't expect you to share any of that with us, but I am curious as to when we will get to sit down again and talk about what else is coming.
Yeah. It's always a good question, but as you know, my time on business is scheduled.
Yeah.
So from today on, it's just 1 year I'm working in that function, and then I will go slowly to retire. But before that, of course, I give a lot, some of my spirit, or a lot of the spirit, in new projects too, and hopefully I can get them on the wheels to be someday on the road. Inside of the 1300, there is the future integrated, so you're not able to develop these big thing and not thinking about the next step.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So everything, what we do next, so next means not tomorrow or next year, but then, of course, model update, technical updates, and so on. You have to have this idea before you start to give that lot of money in that 1300 motors and the construction and design.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
But as we talked about the DGS thing, I think there is one bike, or let's say a field, that I like to go in the future. And I know that a lot of other people in the company also like to go there. And I think it's good to be at BMW and looking for the future.
Yeah.
What ideas in our brains are.
Yeah.
Have been. Yeah. Then today. And I'm sure that you will enjoy, and and my successor, maybe at this chairs here, we'll talk about what are there in front of them.
What's coming up?
What is there? Yeah.
We will wrap this up by posing a question to you that we did to Marcus Flash. And we know you can't answer, so it's okay. But you can move your head in either an up and down direction or side to side. And that question is an MGS.
When you think about HP, as you ask me for HP,
yeah.
What is HP? What HP at this time was a good idea, really good idea. Yeah. I worked a lot of products, double R and so on with this HP thing. Yep. What is it? It goes in the sporty direction.
Yeah.
And when the head of BMW Motorrad is motivated to go more in that direction, it opened doors.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Point. I just heard open doors.
Yeah. Reiner, man, we always love talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, we really do.
You're good people. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, too. Yes, it was a pleasure to be here and talk to you.
Yeah.
We very much hope you have enjoyed this episode. We want to hear from you, so please rate, comment, and share your thoughts about this podcast. We have many more episodes on the way, so please subscribe, follow along, and share your requests for future episodes of the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast.